thee in spirit and in truth. May thy blessings, Father, be upon all who are here and upon those who had a desire to be here but were unable. Father, we pray for all of our sick. We pray especially for our sister Jane Vault at this time. We pray, Father, that she will receive the best care possible and they can find out what her problem is. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you want to turn to Hymn Books to page 536. 536. Sing verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadow of dispelling with joy, I'm telling, He made all darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and mine eye was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I have hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions of light. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from His presence and I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Before we go in God in prayer this evening, please turn to Hymn Books to page 417. 417, Walking in Sunlight. Three verses, 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountain, through the deep vale, Jesus has set out, never forsake me, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, blind my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Seeing his praises, gladly I'm walking in sunlight, sunlight above. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Let's bow, please. Dear Lord in heaven, we come before you again this evening with much thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for our early rise this morning, the blood still running warm in our veins. We thank you, Lord, for our health and strength. We thank you that things are as well with us as they are. We pray, Father, for those that are sick among us and those that otherwise stand in need of prayer. We pray, Lord, that you will look upon each situation and bless them, Lord, according to their needs. We pray, Father, for the leadership that is represented here at the church. We pray that you will crown their heads with wisdom and knowledge and understanding according to your word, that they will make good and sound decisions for the good of the church and for sustaining the souls that are represented here. Father, we ask a special prayer for our minister and his wife as they are away this evening. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them, put your loving arm of protection around them. We pray, Lord, that you will always keep them out of the hands of wicked and unreasonable men and women. Bless them with those things you see that they stand in need of, for we know that this is a difficult work, preaching your word to those that are in need, to sustain the congregation, lift us up as we are needed. And this couple is young, Lord, and we know that they are prone to be discouraged. So we ask that you will strengthen them and encourage them and give us the will also, Lord, to do the same. Father, we ask a special prayer for the leadership of our nation. We appear to find ourselves in troubling times. And while as individual citizens we may not always know the reasons and understand the decisions that are being made, sometimes for our good and sometimes not, but we know, Lord, that you have your hand in every situation, that you are God over all. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless this nation, bless the leadership of this nation, enable them to make good decisions that will strengthen our nation and strengthen the fabric of our nation, that as citizens we will depend on one another, support one another, and help one another. And then, Lord, when we've completed all that we've been assigned to do here on earth, we pray that we will be able to stand before you and hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymn books to page 882. 882. That'll be our song of encouragement this evening. After marking that, please turn to page 191. 191. He's my king. Sing all three.
All day long of Jesus I am singing. He's my song of joy will ever be. All the while he keeps my heart bells ringing. For his love is everything to me. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day long in raptured praise I sing. He's my Savior, He's my King. Streams of love around my soul are flowing. From His heart, love's everlasting spring. That is why my faith in Him I'm sowing. That is why in endless song I sing. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day long in rapture praise I sing. He's my Savior, He's my King. In His light I'm going home to glory, with a soul who trusts His saving grace. Going home to sing and tell His story in the blessed sunshine of His face. He is my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He is my King, no other is above Him. All day long in raptured praise I sing. He is my Savior, He is my King.
Tonight's sermon is entitled, Job Was Just a Man. The scripture reading for that comes from the book of Job, chapter 7, verses 17 through 21. I'll be reading from the King James Version. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning, and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? O thou preserver of men, why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgressions and take away mine iniquities? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. And now, Brother Henry Davis, Jr.
Thank you, Brother Roy. Good evening, church. And, you know, it is always, this is the first Sunday of the new year. It is a blessing to be here. It is a blessing to see another year. It's truly a blessing to be able to stand before you and to bring a portion of God's Word. You know, I can honestly and say that I have had a spiritual workout today. Because this morning I led song, and now this evening I'm bringing the Word. So, I mean, God as a workout trainer, the spiritual workout trainer, is working me on this day. That's what I do. That's all right. That's right. But I do want to take this time to wish everybody a happy new year. We've made it through to another year. You know, we usually stand before you on the first Sunday and say stuff like, you know, we are so blessed because there was many that was with us at the beginning of last year that are not with us now. And yet here we are, and we need to give God praise and glory for that. You know, 2026. Think about that. Say that a couple, two or three times. I know we're going to anyway, so we can remember to write it on our calendars and write it on everything. Make sure we're putting the right date down and not have that funny looking five with the zero. We'll have to fix that. But 2026, that sounds so far into the future, doesn't it not? It sounds like something from the Jetsons. And yes, I just dated myself by saying the Jetsons. You know, all these futuristic things, but here we are. And it is just, it's amazing when we think about how time is flying. You know, the United States of America on July 4th of this year will be 250 years old. The country that we live in, 250 years ago, that it gained its independence. I remember the bicentennial back in 1976. I was just began a teenager by then. And I just thought that we had so much time, and yet it is now 50 years from that time. Just let that sink in for a minute. And when you think about the fact that the Israelites toiled in the wilderness for 40 years, and yet we're already 10 years past that, and we look back and we just think about, where did the time go? How time surely flies. You know, we think about just that just gets away from us so much that we just don't have the time that we think we have. The Bible says that what is time but a vapor? But a vapor. It's, you know, so that's just a whole many things. And every year, for the last 50 years and beyond, we know this happens, right? It's a new year. What do we hear? Oh, it's a new year. It's got to be a new me. I've got to do these things. I've got to get these resolutions out, right? This is the year where everybody's going to go to the gym and take selfies on the phone, on the machines, while somebody who actually has been going to the gym needs to get on that machine. You know, oh, everybody on social media say, yeah, how are you gaining 10 pounds at the gym? Because you're still doing the things you're supposed to do. You know, this morning I sang a hymn for our invitation, I Am Resolved. So, you know, the words is that I am resolved to go with the Savior, to leave this path of sin. Friends may oppose me. Foes may beset me. Still will I enter in. So I'm going to resolve and challenge everybody to resolve to go with Christ, to stay with Christ. And that's where we need to go. 2 Thessalonians 1:11-12. 2 Thessalonians 1:11-12. The Apostle Paul wrote, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling, and to fulfill all of the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we embark on a new year, as we have for the last several, we want to keep God first and have him to protect us as we embark upon a new challenge, a new start, a new fresh start, a new journey. But this evening, we're going to talk about our best laid plans, because usually this is what happens at the beginning of the year, right? We start making plans. We start putting things in place. We start to try to eliminate the mistakes that may have been from a year prior. And so we're going to talk about our best laid plans, and sometimes those plans that go awry, so to speak. How we try to get everything together the right way, how we attempt to stay above board, and on how we go about trying to do things right, and yet somehow, things fall apart. Or even worse, they just totally disintegrate. We're going to discuss those times that as Christians that we have spent countless hours praying for God's grace, praying for God's mercy to somehow deliver us from a critical situation or a critical circumstance. And when we do our extreme best to maintain our faith, to maintain our patience, to trust God's timing, and yet in some cases, that thing that we are praying the most for, we're praying the hardest for, we're praying the most fervent for God to immediately intervene on, it may or it may not happen in our timing, or it may not happen at all. You know, I want to revert back a little bit to Gilbert's message on this morning when he was talking about Jeremiah, he was talking about running with forces. He was talking about, why does it look like that the ungodly has got everything going their way, and yet here we are trying to do everything we're supposed to do that God is asking us to do, but it seems like we're being left behind. We are being left in that struggle. God's people appear to struggle all the time. That's what it seems like. Like anything else in life, that doesn't go the way that we want to express our God-given emotions to that situation. If it doesn't go our way, we always give the emotions that God gave us, and we use that to express how we feel about that. And sometimes that emotion could be disappointment. It can be frustration. It could be aggravation. It could be any. Plug in whatever emotion, human emotion, that you want to fit a circumstance. Probably by now you're probably thinking about some things that you've probably gone through, or left in a year past, or you're still going through now. And yet we know that as believers of the God Most High, we know the Scripture tells us what? It says that all things work together for good to those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. 8:28, Romans 8 and 28. So we lean on his word. But let's face facts, folks. Let's face facts. We're human. And when we're going through it, we are going through it. We love God. We believe in God. We have faith in God. But when we're going through it, don't kid yourself. You know it. We are going through it. It is tough. It is hard. It is frustrating. But I want to encourage you on this evening. I want to let you know that God loves all of us. I want to let you know that God understands that it's tough. I want you to understand that he understands our struggles. He understands our emotions. And he understands our humanity. He understands that. And even though it seems that time moves more rapidly than we think, and some things change, other things don't change quite as fast. And when it comes to our human nature, when it comes to our human condition, we are no more different than Job. And we're going to get it right now. And we know about Job. Job was just a man. Okay? So let's look at the story of Job. Let's look at the book of Job. We know this is one of the most well-told stories in the Bible, do we not? It says that in Job 1:1, just to kind of go back into that, that Job was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. So there's no dispute about who Job was. He was a man. He established that Job was a man. There's no questioning his character. The Bible says that he's blameless. The Bible says that he is upright. Okay? Some biblical translations call Job righteous. So the Bible has said that he is a man of God, a man who loves God, a man who's trying to do what God wants him to do. Why is that important? Because there's many of us right here in 2026 that's trying to live a righteous life, that's trying to do what God is telling us to do, that's trying to hear what God is telling us to do so that we are trying to live that life. There are some in this auditorium right now that's doing the exact same thing. But we see what happens to Job, do we not? Scripture says that he was one of the wealthiest men in the East. Scripture says that the God and the devil and the angels, Satan moved around. He was just moving around. And God said, consider my servant Job. He is upright. He is righteous. And the devil says, that's only because you're protecting him. If you didn't protect him, he wouldn't be that way. And so God allows for Satan to send Job through his trials. And there's a reason why God allowed Satan to send Job through those trials. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But we know from that scripture that Job lost everything that he had. He lost everyone that he had. He had seven sons. He had three daughters. He had livestock. He had wealth. And he lost it all. God said, you can't kill him. You can take everything from him. So he made him sick. He had boils all over his body. Everybody turned away from Job. We know this. We know that that the people was coming to Job and said, you must have did something. You had to do something. You had to do something wrong. You ever had that happen to you? You can't for the life of you think of what you could have possibly did wrong. But things for you, every time you try to turn right, it goes left. Every time you try to go up, it goes down. And somebody said, you ain't living right. Somebody put something on you that you're not supposed to have. So, again, even Job's wife says, curse God and die. Knowing that if you do that, you blaspheme like that, you're done. He wouldn't even do that under every circumstance that he's gone through. He wouldn't even do that. Again, Job is just a man. He's got human emotions. He's got all these things going against him. Hopefully none of us here has had to endure that type of torture that Job did. However, even in our modern day struggles, when we've tried to do the right thing, when we try to get the right plan, when we've tried to pray right, when we've tried to do everything right, stay in the scripture. What does God say about this? What does Jesus say about that? Bad stuff still happens. We know that. Bad stuff still happens. And like many of us, Job, many of us have probably dropped to our knees in prayer. Many of us have probably had tears in our eyes, looked up to God, and said, what? What am I doing wrong? How come I can't get this right? Do you see what's happening to me? What is going on? I can't take it anymore, God. Am I talking to anybody out there? This is the first part of you I want to the question is why. A lot of folks will say to you, you can't question God. You can't question what God's will is. No, God's will be done. God's way will be done. But for us to have a relationship with God and for God to speak to us, we have to be able to ask questions why. Gilbert talked this morning about Jeremiah asking the question why. Scripture tells us that to cast all cares upon him because he cares for us. That's in 1 Peter 5 and 7. God allows us to hear, he wants to hear our passionate expression of grief. He allows this in Scripture. And sorrow, our laments when we are in our struggles. In fact, many faithful figures in the Bible grappled with the suffering and questioned God about it, showing that these emotions are a valid part of a relationship with him. We can go to Psalms 10 and 1. Psalms 10 and 1 says, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? God, in other words, is saying, where are you? I am crying out to you. I can't hear you. The prophet Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 1, 2, and 3, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear, even cry out, you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. That's, in other words, he's saying, Lord, I know you see what's going on. You see all. Why are you allowing this to happen to me? What's going on? And see, there's a reason behind. And some would say, why not you? But there's something to that as well. We'll get to that in a moment. And Jesus Christ even quoted Scripture. He quoted Psalms 22 on the cross when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? However, there is the revelation behind this lament. This is God allowing us to have our emotions. This is how much he loves us. He's not trying to get us to suppress who we are. He doesn't want us complaining to everybody. No. He said to come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Not to everybody else. You can go to people where he will, but you let God guide you to folks. You ever have people just come over and tell all their business to you? You know, it's like, I don't know if I'm the one you need to talk to. But God will lead you to who he needs to talk to. Yeah, he uses us. He uses humans on his earthly plane to talk to. But God's got to lead us there. The greatest revelation that God has given us about our struggles is this. This is why we have to ask why, so he can tell us that sometimes struggles allows us to allows us to get stronger. God allows us to struggle to strengthen us in Christ. We can go to 2 Corinthians 12:19-10. It says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That doesn't kill you, it would make you stronger. You know, we say that nowadays. But what he is trying to do is strengthen us. He's trying to strengthen us and not let us get so wrapped up in what's going on in the world that we live on today, on this rock that we live on today. We can't let those things get away from us. And we have some people that's everything is about their planning and how they do stuff. And it's got to be right. So God, when you call yourself a believer, understand that it's not going to be your way and your will all the time. It's not going to look the way you think it's going to look. And you have to be able to rely upon him in those times. You know, I said one time, it's been said that folks will say, God helps those that can help themselves. But when you think about sometimes you can't help yourself. A lot of times you can't help yourself. Don't think that's not purposed by God. Because if we think we're so high and mighty, we want to put ourselves, you know, at the same plane of God, we can't do that. We can't do that. So that's one thing why we struggle. Because he wants us to say, in our human weakness, he can make us spiritually stronger. Our trials and our tribulations produces perseverance. Romans 5:3-4 said, "We also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." See, that is what it's all about, that we don't give up. The one thing we learn about the book of Job, we learn about Job is in spite of everything, and our scriptures bear it out this morning, in spite of everything, he did not curse God. He did not lose his faith in God. He didn't know what was going on, but he did not lose his faith. And here is probably the biggest revelation about what our struggles is all about. Our struggles, our sufferings, our trials. Any words you want to put to that, it's not necessarily meant for us. It's not meant for us. Oh, sure, we understand that the struggles will include us, suffering will involve us, trials will affect us, and even infect us. But our struggles, our trials, our tribulations, and our laments is not about us. No. Brothers and sisters, Scripture clearly tells us that what we are about to go through is all about helping others. As Jesus endured trials on the cross, we as Christians must also allow our struggles to do the same to help somebody else. We're supposed to be able to show empathy. We're supposed to be able to show compassion. How can we do that unless we've gone through something ourselves? And we've all gone through something. I can fully understand, brother and sister, or brother, what you're dealing with. And be able to give that loving Christian compassion to that thing. 2 Corinthians supports this. 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. 2 Corinthians 1:3-7 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we shall share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort." This is why God says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He knows what's going on. He knows our struggles are real. He knows that they're painful. He knows that they're frustrating. He knows that they're annoying. He knows they are fearful, worrisome, and sometimes downright unfair. But he knows, just like Job, that we're just men. we're just women, we're just children, or we're just simply humans. He understands. However, we're not in individual silos. We're not in bubbles. We're not on deserted islands. No. We are all here together and on God's green earth. And since Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes that there's nothing new under the sun for those of us who love Christ Jesus, we must endure earthly shortcomings through faith, no matter how untimely or unfair that they may appear, in order to learn, grow, develop, and understand our relationship with Jesus Christ so that we can better be in a position to comfort a brother, a sister, or a child encountering perhaps a very similar circumstance. 1 Peter says, 1 Peter 1, 4 and 7. 1 Peter 1, 4 and 7 reads, "An inheritance of incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It is in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." See, in order to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, we must be first taught that experience on how to show that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're all in this together. And while we go through our individual trials and struggles, it's to help somebody else. It's to strengthen us. It's to let us know that God's not going to forsake us. And we sing a hymn, "Father Along." We'll understand it all by and by. And how many times when we think about the years that's gone by, that something may have happened to us a while ago, that's why that happened. I would have never got here if that hadn't happened to me there. And I would have never gotten here if that hadn't happened to me here. We're just men. We're just women. Our journey on this earth, you know, sometimes can be a challenge, can be a struggle. But I want to encourage you on this first Sunday of the new year that God loves us. He understands our trials, our struggles, but He's here. He's there for us, and there's a reason behind it. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your passion for God. Pray to Him. Tell Him everything you need to know. Let Him know how you feel. He gave us those emotions. He gave it to us for a reason. He didn't give it to us for us to suppress it. He said to cast all our burdens onto Him. He cares for us. Job was just a man. He was a righteous man. He was a man whose faith was tested mightily. He was a man who lamented in his struggles. He was a man who asked God why. He was a man whose situation, no matter how grim, didn't curse God, even though he was provoked to do so. He was a man who God rewarded at the end because of his faith and his obedience and his perseverance. And he's just a man. And then we're in the same place. Give all your burdens to God. Be encouraged on this morning, on this afternoon. It's been a long day, y'all know that. But know that God loves us. Know that He sees us. He knows what He understands. Give it to Him. Leave it with Him. And just watch Him work. So if you are here this evening, you're not yet a Christian, the Lord wants you to know now that we have not promised tomorrow. This evening you've heard His word. Believe with it with all your heart. Repent, which means to turn away from sin. Make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and you can be baptized right now. We have water here enough for immersion to rise up a new creature in Christ. If you're already a Christian and you strayed away for whatever reason, know that Jesus loves you. Know that He forgives you. Know that He eagerly awaits your return home. And if you are in need of prayer, if you are in need of prayer, we already know it. Prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer works. And so, may the God of hope feed with all the joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with the hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. So whatever your needs are this evening, we ask that you make them known as you have, come forward, have a seat in the first pew, as together we stand and as we sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart and cause thine eyes against the light. For sinner, harden not thy heart. Ye sinful, tonight, oh, God, not tonight, oh, God, not tonight, will God be saved? Therefore, not to die. Tomorrow's sun may never rise. To bless thy thorn with newness thine. Is there God? Thy will make me wise, ye faithful to light. Oh, but not to die. Oh, not to die. Our blessed Lord be uses God. Who would to have their soul unite? Believe all, the work is done. He's faithful tonight. Oh, my not to die. Oh, not to die. Will I be saved? And will I if you're in need of partaking of the Lord's Supper this evening, you're welcome to have a seat in the front pew. You will be served. We sing the first verse of 122. 1, 2, 4. Oh, we come together. Oh, we sing and pray. Here we bring our offering for this holy day.
Bread and the fruit of the vine has been set before us this evening so that those who were not able to partake of it this morning may have that chance. We understand the remembrance of our Lord Jesus, our Savior, and the death that he went through. And he gave us this remembrance that we take every Sunday. He gave us the bread which represented his body that was broken on the tree. He gave us the blood that represents his blood that flowed with love from that tree. He tells us how to partake of this in remembrance of him. And Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. This is how we do it each and every first day of the week, as we've been commanded. So as we partake of this bread and the fruit of the vine, let's remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and that great love that he showed for us on that wonderful and awful day. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that you thought so much of us, that you gave yourself so willingly that we might be able to gather here around this table, to be able to partake of this bread, be able to drink this cup, and to remember you. For your love was so great, Lord, that it was a debt that we could not pay, a love so wonderful that we were able to commune with you. Father, we ask that as we do so, we do it not vainly, Lord, but with a matter of love shown back to you. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Heavenly Father, as these Christians partake of the fruit of the vine this evening, we pray that you would enable them to clear their minds and remember that this represents the blood shed by your Son, Jesus Christ, that this is the only blood that has the ability to cleanse us of our sins, that as we partake of this, that we should know that you are looking over us, that you have given us a way to be close to you, that all we need to do is stay true to you, stay faithful to you till the end. We pray in your Son's name, amen.
We also have the commandment to give back that which we've been prospered with in our life. It's not just a commandment, but it's an act of love shown that we do each and every first day of the week, just as the first Christians did. Father, let's ask the Father, thanking him for the love he's shown us in giving back to us. Dear Lord, we thank you that we've been able to have the homes that we have, the families that we have, the wonderful family we have as a congregation here. Father, we ask that as we give back to you now, we ask that the funds may be used in service to those who are in need of it. We ask that the elders take care of those needs as they see fit. Father, we ask as we give back now that we do it not grudgingly, but with a cheerful heart, knowing that we do this in love. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.